Why settle for court jesters when you can have three kings? Here are your hosts, Roy, Javari, and Dan. It's the Three Kangs of the Midway Podcast.
Everybody, welcome to the Three Kangs of the Midway Podcast, or Kings, depending on your vernacular. We back. We might as well just go ahead and jump off into it. We're going to take some shots at Mr. Chris Sims. Mr. Nepotism, living off his daddy's name. He keeps taking shots at our QB1, Justin Fields, talking about his throw mechanics, saying he's inaccurate, posting videos. He recently had a list where he listed him, 39th out of all the quarterbacks in NFL. He listed Trey Lance above him. He listed Marcus Mariota above him. I don't know what it is, bro. But this man, Chris Sims, does not like Justin Fields, and he goes out of his way to knock him down a peg.
It was a top 40 list, right?
Yeah.
And he had him at 39. So he's not even a starting caliber quarterback, right? That's what he said. Yeah.
In his eyes.
Okay.
Which is beyond.
Yeah, Kellen Mond above him.
It seemed like he got an axe to grind, man. Fuck that bleach haired faggot. Straight up. I'll say what the fuck I want, goddammit. Fuck him. Ain't nobody paying his ass no mind. He ain't shit no way. He wasn't shit when he played. He wasn't shit at Texas. He wasn't shit when he played with the damn Buccaneers when he got his damn spleen lacerated. Nobody paying this dude no mind. Fuck him. That's how I feel about him. Because the crazy thing about it is, and this is my thing, right? You know, you got your Dan Orlovsky's, you got your Chris Sims, newsflash people. They weren't shit when they played, okay? Weren't jack shit. Just because you was a scrub, you know, you was fucking eighth string on the motherfucking D team, and just because a couple motherfuckers done got hurt and they done threw your nasty ass in there, don't mean that you're an expert on what you're talking about, okay? Because if you knew what you were talking about, like you proclaim to know what you're talking about, your ass would have been the starter. Flat the fuck out. Fact. Orlovsky and Sims, you two motherfuckers wasn't shit when y'all played. I stayed here in Detroit when Orlovsky was the fucking quarterback running out of the goddamn back of the end zone trying to complete a pass.
0-16.
On that 0-16 season. I remember that. Okay? I remember Chris Sims going out there winging fucking picks because he was about to get his goddamn head taken off. I remember that. Now all of a sudden, you disappear for a few years, come back, you know what I'm saying? As far as Orlovsky, you get a couple JCPenney Brooks Brothers suits to fit your bird-chested ass, and then you get on ESPN and you cap and pop shit like you that motherfucking dude. You wasn't shit when you played, B. You sucked dick, okay, as a quarterback. And we supposed to trust your opinion about what this play was supposed to do and this progression. And fuck you, dude. Chris Sims, you only made it to the NFL because of your daddy. Texas only breathed on you because of you was a Sims. After you,
facts.
They didn't care. After you, you fucked it up so bad that after you, no other Sims boys went. They didn't go D1, and wasn't nobody else making it to the NFL because you fucked up the pedigree that bad. You are T-Rash. You stunk up the place when you played. You was funkier than zoo dirt. Understand that, bro. Funkier than zoo. No, you was the fuck zoo dirt. You was funkier than circus dust. That shit that the elephants piss and shit on is up under the tent, bro. That be going on when you walk in that tent, it smell like straight elephant ass and tiger piss. That's how bad you were. That's how you stunk the place up. And you want to sit up here and cap shit? Like, you're that guy? Fuck out of here. Who fired a motherfucker who gave each one of them a microphone and said, you know what? We're going to make you an insider. Huh? I'm sorry. Are you Steve Young? Are you Mike Vick?
Nope. Kurt Warner.
Are you Kurt Warner?
I mean, and see, the thing is that you don't even have to be that good to have a real opinion. There's some guys that you know, like Trent Dilfer. I respect his his opinion.
Yeah,
because he talks knowledge.
Right.
He talks sensible stuff, right? Things that you can really see. This stuff that Chris Sims is throwing out there, he's just throwing, it's just nonsense. He holds the ball this way. You know what I mean?
And then double down on the shit.
Bro, like,
and then double down and then did the motion. It's like, crazy. You see, he throws like video. This. I'm like, duh, is this dude serious?
It's crazy.
As you can see, he throws like this, and if I cut my nuts to the left and then cough to the right, and then I throw the ball, you see, it can get there with so much more velocity. Like, dude, what?
See, I can't respect nobody that's doing that because at the end of the day, you're not really breaking down film. You're not really breaking down, you know, what's going on. What is it? What did the plays result in and things like that? All you're doing is you're trying to nitpick somebody for whatever reason it is. And he's got a hidden agenda.
That's what it is. Biased opinions. It's biased.
It's going to come out.
Opinions.
Yeah. You know, it's going to come out. I mean, we talked about so many different breakdowns and we've seen so many different breakdowns, right? You've seen the breakdowns from, like I said, I respect Trent Dilfer. You know, I look at JT O'Sullivan. JT he wasn't no killer in the game.
But he was solid.
But he
breaks down the tape too.
And he breaks it down. And you see what he's talking about. It makes sense.
Yeah.
This stuff that he's throwing out there, man, Chris Sims is just, it's like, what are you talking about? I don't, you know, he's got the ball. He's holding it upside down in the video talking about this is how, I've never seen, he doesn't hold the ball like that. What are you talking about?
And then it's
upside down?
And then it's like all kind of like screenshots of all these quarterbacks holding the ball, throwing the ball the same way.
Stupid.
Throwing the ball the same way.
Stupid. Just stupid. That's all that is. I mean, I just, you know, tell us what your agenda is. We can call you stupid and you can go about your business. You know?
Plain and simple.
Yeah, because like I watched the videos, JT O'Sullivan, like he says, he'll tell you he's a backup journeyman quarterback. He started a little bit, but he breaks it down. I've never seen him. I never seen Kurt Warner talk about, the way he holds the ball. They're like, this dude is accurate. They pointed out his flaws. They'll tell you his flaws, but they'll break it down. This is why this happened. He doesn't do that. He's just like, well, he's inaccurate down the field. And it's like, no, dude, he's one of the most accurate passers down the field in college football. His intermediate completion percentage, like 10 to 15 yards, is like 74%.
Right.
His deep passing is like 70%. You know, he's always pushing the ball down the field. It doesn't make any sense. This is my theory with it. This is why I think that Chris Sims is pushing his agenda, right? This is my theory. I ain't got really proof. But I know this is a fact. Him and Kyle Shanahan are buddies. They're close.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers made a controversial pick in the NFL draft.
Yep.
49ers fans wanted Justin Fields. I live in California. There's a lot of 49er fans out here. Right?
Pissed off 49er fans.
They pissed off. their three were – they wanted they knew they weren't going to get Zach Wilson or Trevor Lawrence. So they were like, Justin Fields is one. Trey Lance is two. Nice consolation prize. And they didn't want Mac Jones. But they wanted Justin Fields.
Mm.
So when you move up all the way up there, you spend all that draft capital. They gave up two extra first-round picks and a swap to move up from what they were, 12 to number three. And they picked Trey Lance over Justin Fields. So now you got to justify that pick. So you send your mouthpiece, Chris Sims, who just like Lewis Riddick sometimes can be a mouthpiece for Matt Nagy, right? Mm-hmm. To push this agenda, we gotta sell this narrative. We gotta kind of and also I gotta say some slick shit that John Lynch said in an interview with Todd Collins. He was like, "Oh yeah, we went to Justin Fields Pro Day and we got on the plane." And Kyle Shanahan was, "I'm like, what you doing on the iPad?" He's like, "I'm going over plays that I'm gonna draw for Trey Lance."
Yeah.
Like, why did you have to say that, bro?
Yeah.
You on some bullshit. Say, now you taking little shots like it was a little subtle, bro. And he just threw that out. And that's what clicked in my brain. I was like, they're doing a fucking campaign where they got to tear down Justin Field.
It's all good.
It's all good. And whether fans, I'm telling fans, bro, the Bears and the 49ers have a little rivalry going on between Pace and Lynch, Nagy and Shanahan.
This the kicker, though, right? It was a reason why Justin Fields was sitting there with that pissed off look on his face. Because he felt the 49ers should have grabbed him. He felt he should have been, you know, with the Jets. It's good. Mm-hmm. And it's all good. But see, this is the thing, though, right?
No, he should have been where he went.
Exactly. That's right. What in his mind, he thinking, I should have if not the number one, at least the number two quarterback taken off the board.
Right.
So the funny thing about it is, though, is that if you put all this into play, and then you look at it from a standpoint of everybody in San Fran right now is pulling out their fucking hair and panicking because Trey Lance is Mitch Trubisky. And that's the honest to God truth. Mm. For those who are listening right now and don't believe me, go to YouTube.
Yep.
What's the reporter's name, Will?
Grant Cohn. I posted the video. I'll retweet it. Yeah, he keeps it real. He's not a homer, so he was big. He starts sipping the Kool-Aid. He was all on Justin Fields, and when they were off Justin Fields, he started, oh, I'm all on Trey Lance, and he said, I saw him in the first practice, man, and he misses high.
Like
he's
Mitch.
He's throwing the ball, over the receiver's heads.
Like
and
Mitch.
He's like, his mechanics, he's like, he's changing every single throw, and it's, and he, you know, he has Shanahan.
And then
Shanahan,
when he's trying to make a simple 10-yard dig pass, he's throwing it too fucking hard.
Yeah. He doesn't know, because you got to think, this guy hasn't thrown a lot of passes, right? He has 300 something attempts.
And thrown and took this last season off.
And took the last season off. And like even Justin Fields, he has like 600 something, but you got to remember, Justin Fields has competed in all these 7-on-7 camps out of high school. So the amount of times he's thrown the ball, thousands, that matters, man. That's why he's accurate. So you got one guy, his guy kind of in the media talking about his mechanics. And the guy they drafted has mechanics who Chris Sims says has perfect mechanics. So which one is it?
Crazy.
So it's all, you can already see this like kind of, what do you call it? This proxy war through the media. And trust me, the Niners have way more media people on their side than the Bears do. So it's going to be a long, long off season, man. And I think Jimmy G is going to start the season up there in 49.
Absolutely. He's going to start, and he's probably going to play the whole entire damn season.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Unless he get hurt. But and that's the best case scenario for the 49ers, because if Jimmy Garoppolo goes out there and get hurt and they have to throw out Trey Lance out there and he fucking sucks – Oh my god. People are going to get fired. Fired.
Man, that was I wouldn't have made that decision if it was me.
But remember, we passed on Joe Montana. Remember we passed on Joe Montana, and then he went out there to San Fran and the rest was history, right?
Balled out.
Yeah. Deja fucking vu.
Yep.
All over again. It's just, it happened to us this time. It's just that it happened to us this time. And the perfect thing about it this time is you sat up there and you passed on Justin Fields and he came to us.
The worst possible scenario for them.
And he came to us.
Because we still got like little issues from that 2017 thing when we moved up one spot with John Lynch fleeced Ryan Pace.
Right.
You know? We drafted Mitch Trubisky, but they drafted a bust. I actually would say this. Mitch Trubisky had a better NFL career than Solomon Thomas.
Yeah, that's that.
He had a better career than Solomon Thomas.
Yeah.
But no one wants to say nothing about that. No one wants to mention that.
They don't want to bring that up.
They don't want to bring that up. So there's a rivalry between these two GMs, man. So just keep that in mind, Bear fans, man. And another big announcement, man, the news that the Bears might possibly sell the team.
Yeah.
That's crazy, right?
Standing round of applause for that shit. Standing round of applause, because, man, them, I swear, bro, Them damn McCaskies, man. I can't take them anymore. They're not football people. Tick-tock, Virginia's on the clock.
98.
You on the clock. You up. And I hate to say it, but you know, in a minute, you know, your time is coming up. And I think the reason why they don't want to go through this is because of the fact of the matter that, you know, they feel that they're going to be cut out. Some of the McCaskey, some members of the McCaskey family feel that they ain't going to get their proper cut. So they're like, look, while the old lady is here, while she is alive, sell this motherfucker now so everybody can get their portion. It's always family bickering over money in these situations. And motherfuckers want to ensure that they get their cut. And if they can't get their cut, that's going to be a problem. So my thing is, sell them because God, please put football people in play so we can go back to being the charter franchise we once were.
Right.
And all through from 84 till about 90, 91-ish, we were a charter franchise. And then that shit fell off until Lovie Smith came around. And then we had, you know, 2005, 2006, 2007-ish, you know, and then 08, 09, 2010, and then fell off.
Yeah.
So, come on, man. If you're going to sell them to somebody who's going to do right by them. Lucky as hell I can't buy them because I'd be mad. Front line and center. Front line and center. Front line and center.
We need to do what the Packers do. We need to pull our money together and buy the damn team.
Right. You know? Yeah. Straight up.
Exactly.
Walk around with our certificates.
You know, that's the thing, man. I just want them to go to a, you know, if they do sell them, I want them to go to somebody that's in the business of winning. You know what I mean? Because you could get one of these owners that's there to just make money. You know what I mean? And then we're going to be in the same situation. But, you know, I liken it to like the Mavericks, right?
Yeah.
It was terrible. They were terrible.
Yeah.
And Mark Cuban came in there and he's, I want to win.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want to make money, but I want to win. He got passion for it.
Right.
A lot of people criticize his tactics and, oh, he's always at the games. And, bro, that's his team.
You know, exactly. What do you mean?
You know what I'm saying? Like if you want to sit next to the bench, let him sit next to the bench. You know
shit,
what
I would.
Right.
You know, so, you know, but at the end of the day, you can't deny that for the time that he's owned that team, they've been consistent winners. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They had a couple down seasons when they was rebuilding, but consistently, like, he'll make a trade if he needs to. He'll pay people their money. You know what I mean? He keeps the fans happy. That's what I want. I want somebody to come along for the Bears organization like that, who's in the business of winning. When you win, the money will take care of itself.
Exactly.
When you win, money takes care of itself. You know what I mean? Exactly. You're going to sell jerseys. Look at Justin Fields' jersey count right now. Now, it's stupid that Tim Tebow is ahead of him. You know what I mean? Of course. But Justin Fields got 3 jerseys in the top 5. The orange, the blue. No, the blue, the orange, and then the
and
white.
The white, yep.
So it's like, you know what I mean? You look at that situation, the money will take care of itself. Yep. Bears fans are passionate. They're always going to be there. They're loyal. You know what I'm saying? So put a consistent winner on the field and go forward like that. You know what I mean? Yeah. So
yeah, we got an international fan base, national and international, man.
Exactly.
You know, like I'm out here in California, man. You got Bears bars out here.
Yep.
In Southern California, you got like 4 or 5 of them, you know.
Bro, I go to the game out here, Atlanta game, and I promise you, I've been to a Bears Atlanta game out here. 50-50.
Yeah.
60-40. You might have more Bears fans out here, to be honest.
Yeah, when I went to 2018, when we were rocking that year, we all went up, me and my brother, Mike, my boy Mike, we went up to 49ers, went up to San Fran, dude, and it was, I say it was 60-40 Bear fans.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
We took over the stadium.
Yeah, that was
we were like, remember when they got in that scrap with Anthony Miller?
Yeah.
On the sideline, we were all like, yeah, and the 49ers fans, bro, they were sitting there like, and they didn't say nothing, dude, we're deep. Same thing with the Redskins. We went to the Redskins game in 2019, and it was the same thing. It was 60-40 Bear fans.
Damn,
there's right. More Bear fans. It was like, let's go, Bears. Let's the chant. Like, we're deep. So if you win, it's a wrap. Like, if you get a quarterback, like, people think, people like, oh, the Bear fans annoying because they got Justin Fields. Like, just wait.
Right. We know what the fuck we got.
Just wait. Just wait till this dude is a perennial Pro Bowler, dude. Yeah. He's going to be a rap. We're going to be annoying as hell.
Like, we know what we got. Y'all don't know what we got.
Rightly so, too.
Like, look, you got to understand, Ohio State is in the Midwest, right? Yes. Along with the Chicago Bears. Okay, a lot of these naysayers, they don't watch Ohio State football. They didn't watch it. Let's be honest. But it was a fucking reason why Ohio State was there in the Final Four the last 2 years.
Yeah,
it was. It's a reason. Keep it a buck.
That, dude.
Keep it a buck.
Yep.
Keep it a buck.
That's the thing, though. Sell the team, man. Sell it to somebody that really wants it, man.
Damn right. Sell it to somebody that's going to do right by us.
Exactly.
Sell it to somebody that's going to do right by us. That's going to keep it all the way on point.
Well, I heard somebody mentioned Jeff Bezos.
Bezos.
How y'all feel about him?
Cool. I mean, you know, buy it. Get the fuck out the way. Hire people that, you know, hire the best people to keep us competitive year in and year out.
Yeah, he'll be having like drones like bring you drinks and shit. That's, you know,
right.
What I mean?
He'll be having all kind of shit.
He'll have the state of the art facility, bro. Like, I'm telling you, if he owned the team, then you had the best facility in the
It's gonna be you know, my thing is though, if they do move the stadium from Soldier Field, man, you know what I'm saying? They gotta keep that name. Just keep the name. You know, if you gonna move them from the stadium, just keep the name, because they talk about moving to Arlington Park. You know, whatnot, moving the Bears from Lakeshore, you know what I'm saying, down to Arlington. I mean, whatever you do, just keep the name Soldier Field. Yeah, it's got so much mystique to it, Soldier Field.
Man, I just can't get on board with it, bro. I just can't.
I was going to say, it's controversial.
It's hard for me, bro. It's hard for me. Like, I look at Soldier Field and I'm like, I look at Soldier Field and I put it in the same category like Madison Square Garden. You think right. the Knicks will ever play somewhere else?
Right.
No.
Right.
They won't. I don't think they will. You know what I mean? You look at it like Lambeau Field, even in Green Bay, they're not moving.
Comiskey them. Park. You know what I mean? Yeah.
You know, it's just not gonna. It's not the same. You know what I mean? So, I don't know, man. I just can't get on board with it. If they want to rebuild it or completely remodel it, I'm all for that. But I'd like it to stay in the same location that it's in.
It's perfect location.
And keep the same.
Yeah, it's nice.
You know, they talking about they want them to have a retractable roof and all this and all that. Like, no, that's the beauty of it. It's the elements.
Yeah.
That's going to say, and you can't name it Soldier Field without the elements. It ain't Soldier
right.
Field.
Right.
Exactly.
It's I don't know. You know, soldiers, you got to be able to deal with the element. And you know you come to Chicago in the winter, dude.
Man. That's bare football.
That's an advantage. That's an advantage. Just like Miami, like half the stadium is like shaded.
Yeah,
half the stadium is hot. That's like an advantage.
Exactly.
You got people. I think the biggest reason they want that retractable roof and things like that is so that they can have like the NCAA tournament, like they do in Dallas.
Right. Right.
You know what I mean? But like I said, those stadiums, they didn't have that history. It's something about Soldier Field, man. I can't get on board with it, bro.
Certain mystique about Soldier Field, man, you know. And the crazy thing is just, you need that. I'm with you. I can't get on board. I can't see the Bears playing nowhere else.
Right.
I just can't, you know. They had that little spell where they played at Illinois for, for a brief period, you know.
But that was just because they was doing a remodel.
Right. That was during the remodel.
Adding some seats or something like that, so.
Yeah, you know, that was during the remodel. But it was like, damn, man. You know, like, Soldier Field. I'm used to seeing that big ass right on the side. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Where it looked like you walking up to the Washington Monument. But it's,
right.
You know, the big ass columns, man. It's like, bruh, y'all can't go away from that.
Yeah.
You legit can't go away from that. At all. So we need that, man. We definitely need that. Keep it in Chicago. Keep it right where it's at. If you just knock down a side or something, if you want to expand, take out a side and go up.
Yeah.
If redo you want to expand.
You can redo the field. I'm cool with that, but I just don't I don't want to see him move, to be honest with you.
Yeah, kid is right there off the leg, dude. You know?
Yeah, it's tight, man.
Yes, yes. Like, you see the aerial footage of it?
Yeah, it looked dope.
You'd be like, yeah, that's the squad.
Yeah. It's dope.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. It's dope, man. I saw something that the Bears, what was it, Brad Biggs, said that the Bears might be looking to sign Breshad Breeland.
Now, that would be a good move. Yeah. That would be a solid move. And really, and if that is the case, if they do sign Breshad Breeland, then Breeland and Johnson are your starting corners.
Yeah.
Hands down. Dan, you feel different?
I'll say the same, yeah.
I think I feel a little bit different. I think it's concerning to me that here we are looking at another cornerback, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because now you're telling me what is that telling me? I mean, how much competition do you need, right? So, do you not have confidence in what we have? You know what I mean?
Obviously
because
not.
We got, like we talked about it, we got a lot of dudes in that cornerback room right now. A whole lot of dudes, right? We got Trey Roberson, you know, Jalen Johnson.
Trey Roberson still under contract?
Yeah,
he was injured. He was on the injured reserve last year or something.
Mm.
Yep. And you still got
Artie
him?
Burns.
Artie Burns. You got what's his name? Desmond Trufant, Kendall Vildor, Duke Shelley,
Thomas Graham, Tease Tabor.
I mean, you got a ton of dudes. You upwards of 9, maybe 10 guys in that room. So I'm like, we're looking at Breshad Breeland, and Breshad Breeland's okay, but man, you know, what's that saying about what we got? You know, does the side not have the confidence in these guys? I'm questioning that right now.
Well, my thing is, like, with cornerbacks, you can never have enough. And as much as I think Desmond Trufant's a decent player, he does have injury history.
Yeah.
So, you know, you always wondering, was he, like, just playing hooky? Because he didn't want to play for the Lions, or was his hamstring? I think the year before he actually broke a bone, so he was legit hurt.
Right.
You know, so you know, I think Breshad Breeland's a better player than Trufant, and it just gives you depth. Because I mean, not all these guys are gonna make it. Somebody might get hurt, and the fact that you had to cut Kyle Fuller, man, you gotta see what works. I mean, they also looked at what's the dude Nelson. From the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yep, yep.
Yeah, so he's younger. I think he would probably be a better play because, you know, you might find a long-term answer at cornerback too, you know. So I ain't mad at it. You know, it depends what they sign him for, you know. I ain't mad at it.
Well, we'll see, man. I mean, if they end up signing him, you know, like I said, I just want to have – if you got too many people, it's the same thing with the quarterback. You got 2 or 3 quarterbacks, you ain't got no quarterback. You know, so I look at it the same way. If we got, you know, this room just full of a bunch of corners, bunch of DBs, ain't nobody standing out, man. That's what I'm looking at. Ain't nobody really standing out. So I'm concerned with that. I think they're gonna have to really put something into somebody. You know, if it's Breshad Breeland that you bring, how old is he, by the way?
He's like 28, 29.
Okay.
Yeah, that's.
So
yeah,
maybe you want somebody older. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I don't think he's old.
Not happy with it though.
I mean, it sucks you lose Kyle Fuller. So
yeah, yeah.
you know, you trying to replace him? Yeah, I think he's 28.
I mean, we'll be better at nickelback with whatever we do because
I think Duke Shelley is might.
What's his name is gone. So
that's the crying. Oh yeah. My God, dude.
So we'll be good at nickelback. We'll be better, I should say.
That's how you know people don't know football, bro. It's like I seen announcers like, oh, the Bears lost Buster Skrine. I don't know how they're gonna replace him.
Yeah, they just be talking, man. Breshad Breeland's 29 years old.
Okay.
29.
Yeah. I'm like, you replace Buster Skrine.
Buster Skrine. Like, man, he trash.
Like,
I don't think nobody picked his ass up.
Better than,
I don't think nobody picked him up either.
He done, bro.
I don't think so.
Damn.
He getting roasted. They were picking on him the whole time. They were always lining up their player in the slot so they could pick on Buster Skrine, dude.
And we still got DeAndre Houston Carson too.
Mm. Yeah, he's safeties. Safety.
Yeah, he's got safety.
They got they brought Lucas, but Lucas set out the year. Remember they got signed from Chiefs, Josh Lucas, I think. Yeah, he sat out the year because of COVID. So you got him back. You got Deion Bush, DeAndre Houston Carson. I think Marquise Christian at safety.
Yeah, Marquise Christian. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. We probably can.
Xavier Crawford too.
Yeah. Yeah. He's there too.
Yeah, they got a lot. They got a lot of that defensive the defensive backs and the safeties. They got some questions there. The only thing I'm happy with is Jalen Johnson and that's I mean, yeah, that's about it, bro.
At the cornerback.
Yeah, the cornerback. I mean, that's the.
Only I like Vildor.
Confident like Vildor. In you like Vildor.
Yeah, I like
Vildor. I gotta see some more from him, man. Yeah, I really do.
I like Vildor. I like him. I don't know if he's gonna be a star or nothing like that, but I mean, mm-hmm. like. He made some open field tackles. I was watching that Jacksonville game. He made, I forgot who it was, but Mingo blew the a linebacker, blew the tackle, dude. Vildor came down there and popped him. And he had a nice stop on Dalvin Cook. You know, like, I ain't worried about him. I think between him, Shelley, and Graham, you can find somebody that's going to play the nickelback.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I think the real issue, they got to figure out the cornerback. So they might want to have Trufant battle out with Breeland or something, at least for that year, to get a solid. I think Jalen Johnson might be a star one day, dude. You know, that dude is good, dude.
Yeah, he is.
He just need to pick off some balls.
He's a number one talent. First round talent.
Yeah.
We got him in the second, but he's a first round talent.
Yeah, he's a first round talent. So, you know, that's how I feel about him. We got OTAs, man. The Bears didn't have OTAs this week. A lot of people had OTAs. And so the Bears are having it on the first, right? They're having it on Memorial Day.
Mm.
Yeah,
June 1st. Well, after the day after Memorial Day, right.
So we got OTAs. What's our expectation for OTAs, man? We were just talking about a little bit of it. We got the nickelback competition. You got cornerback competition, right tackle, and the issue that might get Devore riled up is the wide receiver three. You know, the Goodwin versus Miller versus Bird versus Newsom. You know, who's going to emerge as the wide receiver number three out of these guys, man? I think there's going to be a big camp battle because Anthony Miller is he's fighting for his professional life, man. He got to bring it.
No doubt. And, you know, speaking of Anthony Miller, man, I think we had a listener that stated, you know what I'm saying, just to break down the whole format of why I feel so strong about Anthony Miller, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, I used to be Anthony Miller, right? So let me take you back. As we stand now, it's currently 2021, right? And let me take you back about 20 years ago. 20 years ago, way back. I was a youngin', you know what I'm saying? I was a senior in high school. You know, play ball, you know what I'm saying? Went to Pontiac Central High. One of the premier athletic high schools known for athletics in the inner city, you know, in the Metro Detroit area, the ghetto, you know what I'm saying? Down and through, you know what I'm saying? But they always known mm-hmm. for basketball, football, track, you know what I'm saying? World-class athletes. Now you talking about in this whole little area, you had so many cats like Charles Rogers, you know, my man Stu, that went to Purdue and then he ended up playing for the Detroit Lions. A bunch of cats, you know what I'm saying? Sorgi, all of them, you know what I'm saying? A lot of cats that came from this area, you know, we talking about, shit, man, you talking about Lamar Woodley, you talk a lot of players that we all play against each other growing up, right? So, you know, my average Friday night, this would be the average Friday night, you know what I'm saying? My average Friday night would be like, I didn't play much. I would be sitting down chilling by halftime, you know. We look just like Florida State, exactly like the Florida State Seminoles because we were the Chiefs. We look just like Florida State from the helmets and everything on down. It's just, you know, Florida State's colors were gold and burgundy. Ours was black and orange. And you talking about big ass niggas, you know what I'm saying? Like coming out of that tunnel, you talking about in all black, black visors, orange spats, everything, you know what I'm saying? So long story short, I didn't play that much. I started varsity. Yeah. They wanted me to start varsity as a ninth grader at wide receiver. However, you know, my dad was he was against that. So, you know, he had me play, you know, most high schools, they have freshman, JV, and then varsity. My father had me start. He told the JV coach, like, no, he's going to start here his freshman year. And then next year he'll be, get him ready for varsity. And from Pop Warner on, you know what I'm saying, was we was on championship teams, you know, I mean, beating the hell out of people, 78-0, you know, from Pop Warner on up. So it was, and long story short, my senior year, my average Friday night would be 5 catches, about anywhere between a 170 and about 220. And I have about 3 touchdowns. And this would be before the half. This would be before the half. So I was chilling, you know. I was chilling. You know, I said, I'll be there. I mean, most of the games were blowouts. I'll be, you know, by halftime, I just had my jersey on. You know what I'm saying? I put my pads and everything in my locker right there, because our locker room was right in the stadium. So right there, you know what I'm saying? So, okay, that was it. And, you know, it would be times where, you know, they was like, oh, he's a great player, but he has an arrogant attitude. You know what I'm saying? Coaches would literally be pissed off because, you know, they would say I would shoot my Nike commercials during their practices. And during Friday night games, they like, you was getting ready for your damn Nike commercials and everything else. You know, I was, you think Deion Sanders was bad? I was bad, because I would like be talking shit. I literally come to the line up. I look at the DB and tell him, like, look, I'm finna run this slant, and then I'm going to score. Stop me. Literally. And then, boop, boop, slant to the house. See ya. You know, I'm high-stepping at the 20 and shit. Doing the Deion Sanders at the 20, walking into the end zone. Balling. Flat-out balling, you know. So it would be times where schools that I would laugh at, literally, when they would come to, you know, I'd be in class, you know, and my coach would come down, and it'd be a recruiting coordinator. And, you know, it'd be these recruiting coordinators from, like, Southern. And it'd be recruiting coordinators from, like, Eastern Michigan and Bowling Green and, you know, places like that. And we would literally be sitting there, and my coach would be, you know, he'll put my tape on, you know. Just from the week before, he'd put my tape on, and he'd be like, okay, this is him. And he'd be like, man, you got a lot of talent. I'd be like, thank you. You know, and I'd just be sitting there uninterested, because I'm not coming to your school. So, you know, when it comes to, you know, my coaches talking about all my highlights and, you know, everything that I've accomplished. At this point, and this is about 2000, if you're not Miami, if you're not Michigan, if you're not at the time, if you wasn't, who was one of the hot schools back then, man? I'm trying to think. Miami. It was Miami, Michigan.
Ohio State.
Ohio State. If you weren't any of these cats,
I didn't want you.
Mm-hmm. Why are we here? Why are we here? And they knew that. You know what I'm saying? So he would ask me, like, you know, and I'll never forget this, right? One of probably the most humbling moments of my life. Was Eastern Michigan, sat there with my coach, and he said, you know, we want to have you, man, you know, but currently we have, you know, we're pretty full at wide receiver. And I bust out laughing. I was like, you serious? He was like, you know, and it kind of took him for a loop. He was like, looking like, what? I'm like, are you serious right now? He's like, well, what do you mean by that? I said, man, there's no fucking legit, my exact words, there's no fucking way I would go to your school. I was like, I'm 17 years old in the 12th grade, and I have more talent in my left nut than your whole receiving core. Why are you here wasting my time? Now, if you going to get y'all legit, I was like, you giving any of my homeboy scholarships? Cool. But me? Nah. You can keep it pushing.
He probably was like, this is...
And he looked at me like, this little motherfucker, like, this motherfucker serious right now? I said, hey, you want to give any of them scholarships? You know, cool. But, you know, coach, I appreciate it, man. But look, I'm finna go ahead and go on back to the trig class. I'm finna go ahead and go back to trigonometry, man. This shit is a waste of my time. Actually, no, I'm gonna start my lunch early. Peace. You know, and they looking like, damn, you know. So, you know, I was that type of dude. But at the same time, you know, needless to say, the wide receiver coach from Michigan at the time, he came down, you know what I'm saying? He came down or whatever, got me out of class, talked to me, you know, whatever, whatever. And we sat there, we chopped it up, you know what I'm saying? Coach Campbell, I'll never forget him. Coach Campbell, he's the AD. He was the AD director at Iowa right now. But anyhow, he came and got me. Okay, boom, I'm going to Michigan. That's where I wanted to go. Charles Woodson. I really wanted to go to Notre Dame, but Notre Dame was sorry as hell at the time. And they didn't throw the football at all. So ain't no fucking way I was going there. You know, my homeboy Jalen Hunter, he went there. You know, Jalen Hunter, he went there, but I didn't go. So, okay, went to Michigan. Didn't work out because there was a guy by the name of Braylon Edwards that was there. And Braylon Edwards' father, Stan, played at Michigan. My people ain't play at Michigan. My people was running the streets, gang banging, doing everything else. I came from that type of environment, you know, where I'm old enough to be, you know, when people see me and my mom or me and my dad out, they thinking that's my older brother or older sister. I'm their son. So that's what people don't understand. So long story short, we get to it. We get down to it. It didn't work out. You know, they was heavy on Braylon, even though I felt I was the better receiver. They was heavy on him, no matter how many drop balls he had during games or whatever, whatnot, they turned a blind eye to it. I seen the favoritism. I wanted to get the fuck on. So I bounced. I transferred to USC. Pete Carroll, good dude. Coach Odell, good dude. All right, they was good, solid people. This was about 2002, 2003-ish, right? I was a prop 48 at that point in time because I had transferred. I couldn't play initially. So still arrogant attitude. Jarrett was there. Bush was there. White was there. Castle was there. You know, Leinart was there. They were all there. They were all there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we got down. We got down. You know, we had the burgundy and gold game. I had about four catches for about 83 yards and a touchdown. Nah, I'm a sophomore, you know, prop 48, sophomore at USC. USC went on to win a national championship in 2004. I was a part of that squad. Even though I didn't play, I was a part of that squad. Part of that squad. Okay, long story short, boom, come back home, going into the 2005 season. I'm ready. Come to find out, I'm getting ready to come back. I get a, you know, I had one of them Sprint flip phones. Remember the Sprint flip phone with the pull-out thing?
Yeah.
I had one of those. You know, I'm on my way to the airport. I get a call. It's this young lady I was heavily involved with at the time. She said, "Devari, I'm pregnant." "What? Pregnant?" I said, "Yeah, I'm pregnant." I said, "How you know?" Legit, you know, because and the same female, I got her pregnant about three times. I got her pregnant about three times before this. And every time I will always slick talk my way out of it and rush her to the clinic. Now, as Nas say, abortion clinics, I was the best that did it. I was, because my pullout game was terrible at a young age. Pullout game was terrible at a young age. I was like, fuck it. I'll just pay for an abortion, man.
It's too good.
It was what it was. You know what I'm saying?
So you was like Nick Cannon shooting the club up there.
Yeah, bro. I was bang bang shoot him up. I was bang him up Smurf, man. Bang bang shoot ski ski, baby. That was me. So you know. So long story short, she's pregnant and she's not getting rid of it this time. Huh? What you mean? So you know, my whole thing was like, oh, you gonna. And again, this was me, arrogant. You're going to fuck my life up, right? You know what I'm trying to do. She said, well, you know, should have thought about that. You know, I'm not putting my body through that no more. It's the fourth time. This would be the fourth time. I'm like, I don't give a fuck. Let's go. Shit. But didn't happen. So I said, okay. I called Coach Odell. Again, solid dude, Coach Odell. Coach Odell wanted me to. He saw it in me. Coach Carroll saw it in me. They knew I was NFL material. But at the same time, I didn't want to be like my father, who was absent, even though he was married to my mother from day one. You know, my father had 8 other kids. You know, him and my mother got married. My mother was 15. My father was 17. They got married. My father got 8 other kids, and him and my mother are still married to this day. So what is that telling you? 8 other kids. 8. My father. 8. So, you know, I didn't want to be like that. You know, so I called Coach O'Dell. Coach O'Dell said, well, what does she do? And at this time, she went to Eastern Michigan. He's funny, right? He said, what does she do? I said, well, she acts. You know, she does this, she does that. He said, okay, I'll tell you what. We got one of the best theater and drama programs here at USC. People actually leave here and go and do movies. Okay, we can hook her up with a theater. We can hook her up with an acting scholarship. And we'll set you up with her housing. You guys will pay $25 a month. Even though you're both on scholarship, you can still get that FAFSA and that financial aid, bring you about $17,500 per semester that y'all can live off of for months, right? With $25 a month rent. Mm-hmm. All right, cool. Send the paperwork. He shot that shit. He overnighted it. FedEx. Got it. Boom. I sign, you know what I'm saying? I get her to fill the shit out. Boop, 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 boop. Right when I get ready to send it back. My mom said that it's all made up for you. You got scholarships out there to go where you at. Ain't nothing guaranteed for me. If you get hurt, they'll take your scholarship and take mine too, and then we'll be back here in Detroit. What? Wait. This was the plan, right? What you doing? Nah, I'm not going. What the fuck you mean you not going? Okay. All right. Fuck you. I'm out. Nah, I'm not out. You know, because again, I didn't want to be that type of father. So now I'm facing a dilemma. What the fuck am I going to do? Remember that coach I told you I laughed at?
Right.
Eastern Michigan. He knew what I was going through. Came to him. He said, yeah, well, you know, we can get you together, you know what I'm saying? But I can't guarantee that we can put a package together for you. I said, well, let's try to do what you can do. He said, all right, cool. By this time, it's like, you know, she's about, I say she's about 3 months pregnant. You know what I'm saying? I transferred to Eastern in January from USC. Transfer. Played in the spring game. 5 catches, 165, 3 touchdowns. Now, she's due to have my daughter in April. As I talked to Coach, he was like, I'm going to break it down to you. He said, we don't have the money. We don't have the funds. So it's nothing that we can do for you financially to help you and your daughter and your girlfriend. I said, okay. Well, I don't come from a financial background to where I can take care of things, right? So I don't come from that type. I don't have a financial support. I don't have it. Because I'm taking my fucking scholarship money and I'm paying mom's bills back at the crib.
Right.
Exactly.
I'm paying mom's bills back at the crib and I'm hustling, doing everything that I could do. I'm selling weed on campus. You know what I'm saying? I'm doing everything that I could possibly do to try to keep myself afloat. And now I got another mouth to feed. So I said, you know what? Fuck it. I do what I make it do. You know, that little $500 a month. How the fuck am I supposed to live off that? $500 a month. So, yes, folks, I did take money when I was at Michigan. Yes, I took money. I took money when I was at USC, too. Because there's no fucking way you telling an 18, 19-year-old kid $500 is all you get. That's fucking impossible when a pair of jeans in my size was $120. A pair of gym shoes was $200.
Right.
What the fuck am I to do?
Hey, fellas, I gotta bounce. I'm gonna leave this open, so y'all continue recording. But I'm gonna mute myself right quick. I gotta bounce.
All right, brother.
All right, Dan.
So you know, you take it from this point, right? Like, what are you to do? So again, I keep it moving. We move on. After the spring game, we go into the summer. We're moving through the summer. We're about to come up, right? Again, no money. Okay, now my shorty's here. What am I to do? Do you know that the time I'm going to tell you, the college football game is a dirty world. Do you know the time that my daughter was born? I went off the radar. So, you know, I was there when she was born, and I went off the radar for like 2 weeks. They was blowing my phone up. They couldn't get a hold of me. Blowing me up. Couldn't get a hold of me because I wasn't answering. I was a father for the first time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you know when I called that coach back? You know what he told me? He legit told me. He said, I'm on my way to California with your scholarship to recruit a young man that's coming out of Long Beach Poly. I don't know what to tell you, bruh, but you no longer under scholarship. Damn. For real. You didn't answer my calls. And I don't want to be dealing with that type of player. My opportunity was gone. Crushed. Gone. Had to work. So be it. It's a dirty game, dog. It's a dirty game. And after that, I was done with football. I was so hurt, betrayed, pissed off, angry, that I said, fuck it. And I done sat there with the recruit, with the scouting coordinators from the New England Patriots. I sat there with the scouting coordinators from the Dallas Cowboys and the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the fucking Green Bay Packers. I sat there with these individuals. They looking forward to me seeing what I'm doing, whatever, whatever. Hope you have a big season. This, that, and the third. I sat there with these individuals, and this is what it was. So when I see Anthony Miller squandering an opportunity that I would have fucking killed to have, that pisses me off. Because Anthony Miller, you got the talent, bruh. You got the talent. And I don't hate you. I hate what you're doing. I hate the fact that you are underdog story and you fucking everything up for yourself with your mentality like I did. Like I did. So I want you to make it, brother. I want you to make it. I want you to be a success. You are an underdog story. You was a walk-on at Memphis. You fought for everything that got you there. Don't forget what got you there. You took the Hollywood mentality when you came to Chicago. Don't do that because you had a big rookie season or you over or superseded what you were doing your rookie season. Don't do that. Please don't do that. So, that's that.
I think that's the mic drop. Nothing else can be added after that, man.
You get a little bit of background information on a guy, you know what I mean, who, when we talk about opportunities, you know, this is a guy who's, you know, dealt with it firsthand. And, you know, it's not always easy to talk about the mistakes we make, right?
Right.
As individuals. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people think that we just want to run around and get on people and do this and that and shoot shots at people. But at the end of the day, we see what we did and we see somebody else making some of those same mistakes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But not necessarily the exact same story or situation, but squandering an opportunity, right, that you have before you, where you have talent, it's clear, it's evident, and you're squandering your opportunity. Yeah, we call people out on that, man. You know what I'm saying? So it's not a hate for Anthony Miller. It's man, don't squander your opportunity because you don't get many of them. You get you might get a one or two, you know, whatever. But they start to go away. And then if you get a reputation yeah, around the league, how many teams are going to be interested in bringing somebody in who has this reputation, yeah, or has a reputation for drop balls, not paying attention to detail, not doing, you know, the work, putting in the effort to be great?
Yeah.
There's millions of people that didn't make it, man.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
There's a ton of people that
didn't make it. I'm one of them. One of them. And, you know, I think, and I truly think still to this day that he had, you know, that coach, I'm not going to name him. He had an axe to grind with me because I laughed at him when he came to see me. And that type of mentality, it burned my bridge. I burnt my bridge. And I never forgot that. And the fact that, you know, just because you knew I had a kid, but the fact that I didn't get back to you, you took my scholarship and this is my time to stick it back to his ass. to humble him a little bit. And I'm going to tell you, when that opportunity was taken away from me, I cried like a fucking baby.
No doubt.
I was hurt because this is something that, you know, I did my whole entire life, man. I vouched to my mother, you know, when we would be in the house with no fucking lights, no heat, no nothing. I'm like, Mom, I'm going to make it. You know, we ain't going to never have these situations no more. I'm going to get us out of this. And you kill that opportunity for me. Whatever, you know, it's tough. It's tough. You know, it's still tough shit. 20 some odd years later, it's still tough. But I share that with y'all because, you know, I want people to understand I'm not coming down on this man, you know, just out of pure hate or pure disdain or anything like that. You know, I'm coming down on him because he has a golden opportunity that I would have died for. A golden opportunity that I would have died for. And for those that's young, that's listening, life is about choices and the choices that you make, you know, when.
That old cliche, you know, the work is never not done. You know what I mean? That's true.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's just starting. You know what I mean? You get drafted to the NFL. You know, he got drafted. Bro, your job ain't done. You ain't made it. You want your rookie contract. You playing for money now.
Yeah.
You feel me?
Yeah.
You was playing to get in and get an opportunity. Now you playing for your cash. Now you playing for your future. Now you playing for your kids.
Absolutely.
For your life. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that next contract. Point, generational wealth. That next contract.
Exactly. That's generational wealth.
Yeah.
That's what you're playing for.
Absolutely.
Your college career was to get you the opportunity to get drafted.
Absolutely.
And once you get drafted, now your rookie contract is for generational wealth.
Mm-hmm. And the crazy thing, and the crazy thing about it is, and you know, those who have played collegiately and at the Division I level, it takes so much shit to go right in your favor, in order for you to make it, in order for you to get the opportunity to make it,
right?
Because it's everybody wants to think, oh, at the Division I level, it's just like high school. No, it's not. That shit is a business. And it hits you that it's a business, and the and the minute you can't provide or add to that business, they get rid of you.
They don't need you no more. Mm-hmm. You're no good to them.
Absolutely, it's a feeder farm.
Yeah,
that's it.
That's what it is.
Boosters. You think these kids? You think they? Man, we had motherfuckers. Let me tell you, dog. We had motherfuckers at University of Michigan. They couldn't read. Could not read. Motherfuckers were getting copies of the exams before the exam came out. 3 days before the exam came out.
Mm-hmm.
Copies of the exam. Straight like that. This is everywhere. This ain't nothing new.
Fellas, I gotta get rolling though, man. I think we gotta cut it short because I gotta hop out of here.
All right.
To be at that other one here in a minute.
All right, folks. Well, we'll rock with you next week.
The mic drop anyway.
Go ahead and lead us out, Will.
Everybody, thank you for coming out to the Three Kings of the Midway Podcast. We out, man.
Hey Will,
with y'all Twitter handles.
Hey Will, we need your son to open it up 1 week.
Hey,
facts.
Oh yeah. Hey, you want to come through and say it real quick? No, he's being shy now. He don't want to say it. You want to say Three Kings of the Midway Podcast?
Come on. Welcome to the Three Kings Podcast.
And on that, we out.
We out.
Take it easy.